Chapter 15. Well, I thought over my options as I made a new save point. Going back for the rest of the men was no longer an option, after my lifetime in one night with Evangeline, so I considered what I had in my arsenal. Goliath, the king's lance, my obsidian bow, Lucian's sword, and all the magic I'd learned from Cain. My fire spell was stronger than my ice, but after my last couple of encounters with the dragon's fire, my wintry blasts had grown stronger and easier to cast. I also had four women with various levels of abilities and skills. Mahini was awesome with a bow, and she was very good with a sword as well. She'd spent years as a mercenary, so she was familiar with the highs and lows of combat. The desert goddess was an invaluable resource, and I was glad to have her by my side. Alyssa was wild and spirited in combat, but her lust for battle was growing stronger every day. She still had a lot to learn, though, especially about protecting herself, so I needed to keep an eye out on her. I had the sudden urge to get her to use a ranged weapon, like a crossbow, so she was less likely to encounter danger, and I made a mental note to explore that more later. Still, her fire urged me onward, and I was happy she was with me. I was also excited to see more of Eva's fighting abilities in the future, but, like my other two lovers, my primary goal was to keep the Duke's daughter safe. Sarosh was an enigma to me, but I didn't expect much out of her. The older woman had persisted in witnessing the event, but nothing more than that. I would expect anyone who'd spent as much time traveling as she had would know how to protect themselves, but she planned on dying soon anyway, so maybe not. I aimed to change that today by defeating the dragon, though, so maybe I'd get to see Sarosh's strength soon enough. Then there was the cow. The black and white lumbering beast stuck out like a sore thumb on the evergreen spotted hillside. I loved and hated the animal already, but we'd gotten to know each other pretty well during the course of the day. I took a moment to silently thank the creature for its sacrifice to my cause, and I knew the one life lost would save countless other lives that were far more valuable. I took a deep breath, and I formulated my plan inside my head. If the dragon could be distracted with the cow, we could surround it. "All right, girls, here's what we're going to do," I announced in a low voice so as not to disturb the slumbering dragon. "We use the cow as the bait to keep the dragon on the ground. Then we surround it and attack from multiple sides. Sarosh, you should stay back here. You'll have a good view of the hollow."
"Thank you, Sir Sebastian. I do not wish to die today."
"Oh, well, glad you've changed your mind," I grinned. Sarosh huffed and crossed her arms over her chest, but the corners of her lips twitched upwards ever so slightly. "Alyssa, you attack from behind it. Stay as far away from its mouth as you can."
"Yes, Bash,"
my wife said with a rare solemn nod. "Mahini and Eva," I said as I took the other two women into my gaze. "Range attack with arrows and throwing stars from each flank. I know the dragon's hide is tough to pierce, so your throwing stars might not hurt the beast, Eva, but they might provide enough of a distraction for me to execute a killing blow."
"Good idea, great one. I agree."
Mahini nodded curtly. "At my signal, get into position," I commanded as I patted my obsidian bow in its holster on Goliath's saddle to make sure it was there. Then I took the cow's rope and I crept forward over the crest of the hollowed-out mountain. I walked in a half-squat as I zigzagged slowly down the steep side of the gravel embankment that ringed the crest, and a few rocks tumbled down the slope and into the dragon's nest. It was a huge area once I got down inside it, like the Colosseum in Rome. The slopes of the mountain walls circled a large, flat surface, and situated on the far side of it was a giant pile of rocks, debris, and some scattered cow bones. I could barely see the tip of the dragon's wings as they peeked over the rim of the nest, and they bobbed slowly in time to its sleeping breaths. Now, I needed to wake it up. I swallowed down the sudden lump inside my throat, gathered all of my courage, and pulled on the cow's rope to lead it closer to the nest. I noticed the girls had moved around the rim and were in the correct positions at the top of the slope, so all they had to do was slide down to the bottom. Things were coming along perfectly. I had Goliath with me as well, since I wanted to be able to get away once the cow was in position, and I mounted my steed as quietly as I could before I got any closer to the nest. When I was ready, I thought about making a save point, but then I realized that I might not be able to kill the dragon with the current strategy I gave my women, so I figured it would be okay to go back a few minutes, in case I needed to dramatically alter the plan. Try number one. Here we go. I leaned over the pommel of my saddle and slapped the cow on the ass. The herbivore mooed loudly, and I spotted movement in the nest. The dragon's wings twitched, and then suddenly, two huge reptilian nostrils peeked over the edge and inhaled. I pulled Goliath around and kicked him in the flank to urge him forward at a gallop, since I didn't want the dragon to smell me and my horse in addition to the tasty snack I'd just dropped on his doorstep. When I was on the far side of the arena-sized hollow, I pivoted my horse and came to a halt. Then I patted Goliath's neck affectionately as I peered toward the nest. "Good boy," I murmured softly, but my gaze was on Smeagol. The dragon was crawling out of the nest, but it moved slowly and sleepily as it crept toward its breakfast. One amber eye was squeezed tightly shut, and the other blinked lazily around in search of the cow. The beast's crimson body glimmered in the fading sunlight, and reflections of red glittered across the slopes of the hollow. I grabbed my obsidian bow from its holster, and then I carefully waved my hand over my head to the women above the dragon on the slope. It was go time. I was counting on the dragon's poor vision to gain the advantage, but that hadn't worked out so well for me in Valinwood. This time, though, I was meeting the beast on its home turf, and it wasn't likely to run away while people were so close to its nest. All I had to do was not get burnt to a crisp, and this would be over. Easy enough for a god. Finally, Smeagol spotted the cow, and the dragon let out a low, hungry growl as it inched toward the helpless herbivore. Once the winged beast was close enough to chomp its massive jaws around the snack, I knocked an arrow to my bow and took aim. When all the women were halfway down the slope, I clicked my tongue to my warhorse, and the experienced combat steed seemed to read my mind as he moved steadily toward the dragon. Each moment felt like a lifetime as I waited for the dragon to begin its feast. But then the beast snarled, and it lunged toward the cow with a wide snap of its jaws. The herbivore mooed in terror, but the sound was quickly cut off by the teeth that severed through its neck in a single bite. I released my breath and my arrow at the same time, and the projectile zoomed toward my target and buried itself deep inside the dragon's remaining good eye. Smeagol roared in pain and confusion, and he clawed at his face with a giant talon, but that only pushed the arrow further into his optic nerve. Suddenly, a fierce war cry echoed through the hollow and bounced off the walls of the small canyon. Then Alyssa rushed forward and smashed her mace down into Smeagol's tail, and the giant lizard-like appendage twisted beneath her weapon. Next, Mahini and Eva attacked from the sides simultaneously, and the dragon roared again as it writhed beneath our multiple attacks. I knocked another arrow to my bow and pulled the string taut, but before I could get another shot out, Smeagol released his fire breath, and the heat radiating across the space between us almost knocked me off from Goliath's back. The girls all scrambled backward to get away from the blaze, but the dragon swung his neck as he poured the lava-like flames across the ground. I scanned the slopes as I counted heads, and I saw Mahini, Eva, and Alyssa all climbing the side of the hill to get away from the fire below. It was like the children's game "The Floor is Lava" on steroids. And so far, we were still winning. I let out a sigh of relief, and then I refocused on taking out the dragon. It was completely blind now, and it had ceased its fire breath for the moment. But my heart pounded inside my chest as the beast lifted his snout and inhaled. Ah, shit. He was trying to find us by smell. All of a sudden, Smeagol whipped his head around and charged to his left side, where Mahini was still scrambling up the side of the slope. "Mahini, look out!" Time froze as my body automatically responded to the sight of my loved one in danger, and I shoved my bow back into its holster on my saddle. Then I grabbed the king's lance from where it was strapped to the other side of Goliath, and finally I summoned an ice shield. The instant the shield was big enough to cover me and my horse, I charged forward into the fiery inferno surrounding the dragon. My yell had gotten Smeagol's attention, as well as Mahini's, and they'd both paused in their ascent up the slope. The dragon didn't stay distracted for long, though, and he sniffed the air in search of the closest target.
Is that you?
The dragon's rich baritone echoed through my mind.
The thorn in my side.
I'm over here! I shouted across the arena-like canyon. Come get me, you giant sack of shit!
You smell different this time.
Smeagol's head twisted from side to side as his ears conflicted with his nose. He could smell Mahini but hear me. Mahini remained silent, and I was grateful for that. The desert goddess was only a few hundred feet away from the beast, and I was twice that distance, but it could move fast in either direction at a moment's notice. Fuck you! I screamed as I charged forward. We were surrounded by rock and dirt, so there was nothing for the dragon's fire to catch on to, and I planned to use that to my advantage. Then my gaze leapt up to the dragon and my beautiful warrior woman, but I was too late. Smeagol had scurried the rest of the way to Mahini, and he opened his jaws wide before he chomped down around her torso.
No!
I yelled, and rage filled me. Then I clamped my eyes shut to banish the image of her body in the dragon's mouth as I reset back to my save point.
Ding!
I blinked, and I was standing at the crest of the hollow once more. The girls surrounded me, and all was right in the world. I stared gratefully at the safe and alive warrior woman for a long time, as Mahini blushed self-consciously beneath my gaze, so I pulled her close to me and held her for a while.
Is everything okay, Great One?
The desert goddess asked with a worried frown.
Everything is fine.
I breathed, and I let it fully sink in that she was okay. Everyone is okay.
Good.
Her frown deepened for a moment, but then she shrugged it off.
What is the plan?
You guys all need to stay here and watch from the sidelines. I can't stand the idea of anything happening to you.
We came into this quest knowing the danger.
Eva pointed out with a stubborn lift of her chin.
I came to help, not to watch. I'm still a little scared.
Alyssa admitted, and she bit her bottom lip.
But I want to help too. I don't want to just stand around.
I need you all to stay safe. I insisted, and I swallowed down the emotion that rose inside my chest. That is the most helpful thing you can do.
Sir Sebastian speaks wisely. You're all mad to think you stand a chance against such a beast. Bash can do it.
Alyssa argued with fire in her emerald eyes.
If anyone can, it's my husband. I admire your faith in him. We shall see if he performs to expectations.
I'm the one who volunteered to kill the dragon. I reminded the stubborn women I loved more than anything. I didn't sign up for any of you dying, though.
We won't interfere.
Mahini sighed, and she tucked her obsidian hair behind her ears.
I understand your wishes.
Good. I nodded. Now, I'm going down there with the cow, and I'm going to try to sneak up on the dragon while it's eating.
Good luck, my love.
Alyssa said in a solemn tone, and her emerald eyes filled with tears. Gods don't need luck. I grinned. But thank you. I kissed Alyssa, Mahini, and Eva on the foreheads, and then I nodded to Sarosh before I grabbed the cow's rope and Goliath's reins. I considered what I had available in my arsenal and contemplated how to proceed as I made my way down the gravelly slope. Smeagol was already half blind, and I'd succeeded once in completely blinding him, but his sense of smell was also superb. It would be hard to sneak up on him, but I wanted to try. If I could get up close, I could drive Lucian's sword through his neck and end this. Besides, if it didn't work, I could always try again. And again. Until I got it right. Such was the awesome power of the God of Time. I was determined as I put the cow into position, and I slapped its ass to make it moo. Then I galloped away to the far right side. And as Smeagol began to peek his nose over the rim of his nest, I eased Goliath along the edge of the canyon. The dragon inched sleepily out of his nest and crept toward the snack placed temptingly in front of it, and I moved around behind the lumbering beast toward its tail. Fortunately, the wind was on my side, and it blew into my face like a sigh of relief. It swept my scent away from the dragon's nostrils and allowed me to remain undetected as I approached the beast's tail. Smeagol growled with hunger as he lunged toward the cow, and he snapped his jaws shut around the herbivore's skull. I dismounted Goliath as quietly as I could, and I pulled Lucian's sword out from its sheath on my hip. Then I crept the rest of the way to the back of the dragon, who was distracted by his surprise treat. Smeagol might be a mythical creature, but he was obviously too dumb, or too sleepy, to question the sudden appearance of a cow next to his nest, which was fortunate for me. I was a few paces away from the dragon's body at this point, and I considered how I was going to approach things. I wanted to get close to Smeagol's neck before I struck him, so I squatted down to creep beneath his legs. The dragon's thick, lizard-like tail flicked happily as it munched away on the cow, and he didn't notice me moving stealthily beneath his body. So, when I was close to the swinging jaw of the giant beast, I took a deep breath and gripped the hilt of my sword tightly. Then I lunged upward and sliced into the underside of Smeagol's neck, and black blood spilled out from beneath his massive jaw. Smeagol roared in pain, and he twisted to find the source of the attack. His giant dragon talons grabbed me, and the sharp edges of his claws tore into my armor with a sickening crunch. He was massive and powerful, and even when half-blind and wounded, he could still put up a fight. "Oh, fuck!" I groaned as the weight of Smeagol's talons crushed into my lungs.
"For Bash!"
A trio of voices yelled out a collective battle cry, and I managed to glance through Smeagol's legs to see the three warrior women running down the slope.
"No!"
I yelled out in warning, but it was too late. Smeagol growled, and he dropped me like forgotten trash before he lunged toward the women charging down the slope. I could feel the rumble of his fire breath building inside his body as he lumbered over me, and I pictured my three beautiful women dying in a fiery inferno. Fuck that.
Ding!
I reset back to my save point, and I took a moment to suck in sweet, life-preserving oxygen. That was a close one, but I was still no closer to defeating the dragon than I'd been two attempts ago. I needed to figure something out, and the women were obviously not going to let me just die. If only they knew how inconsequential my failures were, maybe they wouldn't rush in to save me when Smeagol got the upper hand. I couldn't reveal the secrets of my power, though, since any time I'd tried before, it always ended disastrously, so I shouldered the burden of my godhood and raked a hand through my hair.
"What's the plan?"
Mahini asked with a worried frown. "You guys need to stay up here. Even if it looks like things aren't going great, you have to stay out of the path of the dragon's fire."
"But Bash!"
Alyssa pouted.
"I want to help you. I'm not afraid."
"Right now, you're alive." I fixed her with a stern look. "And that's the way it's going to stay."
"What about you?"
Eva interjected, and her gray eyes were full of concern.
"We followed you to help, not to watch. You don't have to do this alone."
"I do." I furrowed my eyebrows. I was the one who volunteered, after all.
"My place is at your side. I knew it would be dangerous, but it's still the most important choice I've ever made. I would die for you, Great One."
"No, I don't want that." I shook my head as the memory of her being eaten by the dragon sprang into my mind. "I want to go home with all three of you safe and well by my side."
"Sir Sebastian is right,"
Sarosh said with a sage nod.
"You are all crazy if you think you can stand a chance against such a powerful beast. Go ahead and admit you are not a god, and we can be done with this whole dangerous fiasco."
"Oh, fiasco, huh? We haven't even gotten started yet."
"We will stay behind if that is what you wish."
"It is," I confirmed, and I gave Eva and Alyssa a hard look until they nodded their agreement. "Good. Now, I'm going to go slap a cow's ass and kill a dragon."
"Good luck, my love."
Alyssa murmured, with emotion dancing in her beautiful emerald eyes. Gods don't need luck, I repeated, although she didn't remember the first time I'd said it. Then I took the cow and my horse and crested over the rim of the canyon. I wasn't doing so bad for only having tried 2 times so far, but I expected it would take many more attempts to end the dragon's life once and for all. Still, I needed to come up with a better plan, so I considered my options once more. The sleeping dragon breathed deeply, and his wings fluttered. I could see a couple of holes in the leathery extensions, and I remembered how my obsidian bow had shot arrows through them during my encounter with Smeagol and Valenwood. Oh, if only my arrows could pierce through the dragon's thick hide, then I'd be in business. But so far, I'd only managed to damage his wings and eyes. I was certain the lance would penetrate the beast's natural armor, but I hadn't really gotten a chance to try it out yet. So, that's what I decided to do. I wanted to vanquish the dragon like a true knight on a white stallion, and I had everything I needed to pull it off. I put the cow into position, and I slapped its ass again. It would have almost been comical how casually I touched a cow's backside, if it weren't for the gravity of the situation. I was here to end the dragon's reign of terror, and the result justified the means. Once I saw the nostrils peek over the rim of the nest, I galloped away on Goliath's back until I was a safe distance away from the cow. I chose the king's lance, and I gripped it tightly, even though I had the return-to-hand ability. I hadn't tested the ability in combat yet, but my ability to see an item's stats hadn't led me wrong yet. A moment later, the slumbering dragon was rising from its bed and meandering over to its snack. I waited until the wide jaws opened, and then I chose that moment to attack. "Die, you bastard!" I yelled as I charged forward on my white steed. It wasn't the most knightly of battle cries, but it would do in a pinch. Smeagol's head whipped up with the remains of the cow's head dangling from his teeth, and his one good eye swiveled as he tried to find the source of the noise. I was 100 feet away when he spotted me, and I threw out walls of ice just in time for his fire breath to meet them. The flames ate through my wintry barriers, but the two elements negated each other perfectly. I had a clear, flame-free path to the dragon's face, and I knew he needed to gather his steam before he could breathe the fiery death upon me again, so I urged Goliath on even faster as I held the king's lance tightly in my fist.
"You again."
Smeagol's amber eye locked onto me, and recognition transformed into utter rage.
"You are a thorn in my side."
Then he flapped his wings and rose into the air an instant before my lance would have crashed into his chest. The tip of the long shaft grazed the beast's underbelly, and a long gash appeared in its wake. Black blood poured out from the wound and dripped onto the gravel below, but Smeagol rose high above me and circled the canyon. I followed his path and prayed for him to land again, and I suddenly spotted a dark dot moving along the slope. Then I cursed under my breath when I noticed the jagged blonde hair.
"Evangeline, what is she doing?"
The Duke's daughter wasn't coming toward me, though, and it looked like she was headed toward the dragon's nest. I didn't know how territorial the winged beast would be, but I didn't think he would like it if someone was messing with his nest, so I pulled on Goliath's reins to change his direction. Smeagol spotted Evangeline in the same instant I did, and I saw him flying through the air above me with the same trajectory.
"Shit!"
I cursed again. This was bad.
"Smeagol!"
I yelled up into the sky in the hopes the dragon would change course.
"Come get me! I'm over here!"
There was no use, though, and I watched helplessly while fire rained down from the sky above the newest addition to my heart. I didn't want to watch her die, so I reset back to my save point.
Ding!
I went through numerous attempts at charging straight towards Smeagol with the lance, but Evangeline got in the way every single time. I was starting to lose my patience with the stubborn, spontaneous woman, but I had to admire her daring. Finally, I'd had enough of it, and I confronted her head-on. Why do you keep going to the nest? I questioned the Duke's daughter after I'd reset back to my save point.
What do you mean, Great One?
Evangeline shook her head in confusion.
I haven't moved from this spot.
Listen, there's something in the nest, and you have died many times trying to get to it, so I need to know what it is.
You're starting to worry me, Great One. What do you mean I have died many times? You're not making any sense. Start at the beginning.
But, you know, never mind. I'll figure it out. I muttered, and I took a deep breath before I reset back to my save point.
Ding!
Everyone stay here. I'm doing some recon, I said, and I gave them all a look that allowed for no argument. Then I crept over the edge of the slope alone and angled toward the dragon's nest. I went slowly so as not to wake him up, but I held my breath every time a rock tumbled down the hill. One even crashed against the edge of the rock-hewn circle where the dragon slept. But the beast never woke up. I was 100 feet away when the nostrils lifted and sniffed the air. I froze in place and waited. But the next thing I knew, I was staring into the huge amber eye of Smeagol.
Why do you disturb my slumber, human?
The rich baritone echoed through my mind like the beast had yelled into my ear.
Do you wish to die today?
I weighed my options. I could use my griffin feather boots to outrun the fiery blaze sure to come, or I could reset back to my save point and try again. Well, the dragon was awake now, and I didn't think running away would help me against a flying creature, so I chose the second option.
Ding!
I tried to sneak up on the nest multiple times, but Smeagol always woke up when I was within sniffing range. Without the cow smell to distract him, he was super sensitive to my odor. So I decided to use my original plan, but tweak it to where I'd investigate the nest instead of attacking. I placed the cow, smacked its ass, and then activated the fleetness ability of my griffin feather boots to zoom toward the nest and hide. Once Smeagol was chomping away at the herbivore, I inched toward the rock-hewn circle. It was like he had an alarm system or something, though, and any time I touched the rocks to begin the climb, Smeagol swiveled around and blasted me with fire.
Ding! Ding! Ding!
Oh, there was definitely something inside the nest that dragon was protecting. And it seemed like I'd have to kill him before I could figure it out. Each time I'd alerted the dragon to my presence, somehow, and I didn't have anything on hand I could use to mask my scent. Well, I'd just have to keep trying until the dragon died. So I took Goliath and the cow, commanded the women to stay put, and headed down the slope again. With enough ice, I could protect myself from the fire breath, and then I could get close enough to do some real damage. I put the cow into position, smacked its ass, and galloped away. Once Smeagol was happily munching on his evening snack, I unleashed a torrent of arrows toward his remaining amber eye. Smeagol roared in pain as 3 arrows dug into his optic nerve, and he clawed at his face. The shafts broke off, but the tips remained, and the dragon writhed around, trying to dig the projectiles out of his eye. I took the opportunity to charge forward, but I opted out of a battle cry to obtain the element of surprise. I gripped the lance tightly in my fist as I galloped, and Goliath's muscles bunched with the effort it took to keep up the pace. Smeagol stopped clawing at his eye a moment before I reached him, and he flopped back onto all fours to face me with a snarl. "Die, you fucking asshole!" I shouted as I drove my lance into his chest. The dragon screamed in pain, and the high-pitched sound pierced my ears like daggers as the beast reared back and clawed at the lance jutting out from his torso. Then Smeagol smashed down, and the movement dislodged the long spear so it bounced off the ground. An instant later, the lance shot across the distance between us, and it returned to my hand, just like it was supposed to. I swiveled Goliath's head to the side, and we galloped away from the reach of the snarling dragon. Then I pivoted and charged again. Smeagol met my attack with a gust of his fire breath, but I blasted ice into his maw until he closed his jaw with a frustrated snarl. Sweat dappled across my forehead, and my head rang with the high-pitched sound. Using this much magic was beginning to take its toll on me. It was time to end this, now. I leaned over Goliath's withers and gripped the lance tightly, and when I was less than 50 feet away from the dragon, I chucked the weapon toward his gaping jaw, right before he could unleash his fire breath. The lance drove through the beast's head and protruded out from the back of his skull. Smeagol twitched and growled for a moment, and then his lizard-like body fell limply to the ground and buried his legs beneath the weight of him. He was dead. I was Sir Sebastian, the Dragon Slayer and God of Time. And that hadn't actually taken that many attempts. Victory tasted sweeter than any dessert I'd ever had, and I couldn't wait to reap the rewards of my kill.